right, Gene, are you ready to get counted in?
Ready, homie.
Ready in Chamesh, Arba, Shalosh, Shtaim.
Yeah! Hey! Yeah! Yeah! Hey. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning ships, need a long nap. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at? Christina P.
Oh, hey, Andrew Johnson here in the studio. Can you even believe it? What's up?
I thought that was my own voice saying, Mom, Buggers, with Christina P. I was like, when did I do that?
No, we're similar, huh?
Yeah. When did I record that for her?
Yeah, you didn't know DMX is a huge fan of the show?
I didn't know.
He recorded that for us. It's pretty amazing.
He's good.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silence.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With me, if you don't know who this is, get your life. I mean, what are you, under a fucking rock? This is Angela Johnson, the funniest fucking human being on the planet.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
Solid citizen. I think you're also one of the realest bitches in the game.
Thank you.
I love you so much. And
thanks. I love you too.
Yeah. And I'm so happy you're here.
Hey, I am happy to be here too, because we've talked about it for a minute. Like, you gotta come do the podcast. And then the world went into a pandemic and we're like, okay, let's still do it anyways. Let's at least we'd give it to each other. You know,
at least
I mean?
To each other. Yeah.
At least I know I got this from Christina.
That's right. You're not gonna get it from me. Yeah. Well, actually, originally I wanted to organize a dinner with the baddest bitches in comedy. Yeah. It's gonna be just a handful of only the female comedians.
Uh-huh.
And it kept getting put back and put back. So one day we're going to do that dinner. But I wanted to have you on because I adore you and because this is a mom show.
Yeah.
But I've been neglecting a key demographic in the mom world, and that is the dog mom.
That is right. That is right.
Because dog mom is a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
Dog love is real.
People take it very seriously. And here's the thing. People with dogs and children are different than people with just dogs.
Go ahead. Hey, don't you dare. Don't you dare cast stones, but go ahead. How about that? No, I think you're right. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because pre-children, the dog is the baby.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you have the kids and you're like, the fuck is this dog doing? Get out of here.
Exactly.
The first year you're like, I don't want to clean up after dog. It's a hassle. But then what happens is the kids get a little older and then I start to appreciate the dog a little more.
Yeah.
But you're right. They become second position.
I tell my dog all the time that he's my only child. And when I'm like cuddling him, I'm like, you're my infant child. You're just my little baby and I love you so much. And I don't know. I just have so much love for this dog. I've never wanted kids. Although now that I'm getting older, I think about it more.
Okay.
I do. Because I'm like, hey, I don't have all the time in the world, but I keep operating in my mind as if I'm in my early 20s. And I'm like, whatever, maybe when I get older, I'll have kids. And I'm like, oh, I'm almost 40. I should probably think about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah.
But so
I'm
you're happy considering the possibility.
I'm definitely, I consider it. Like, I'll go, should we? And it always comes back to that. But then I don't want to, I think I just have FOMO is what it is. I think I'm just like, I don't want to miss out. I don't want to be like 80 years old and they're like, how many grandkids do you have? I'm like, none. I don't even have regular kids.
Regular. Well, that's the thing, right? Because let's back it up. So when I was 32 or something, and I was like, I don't want to get married. I'm afraid of marriage. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I was dating Segura since I was 28.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I finally turned a corner and I was like, okay, I'm ready to get married. And then we got married and I was like, I'm not ready for a kid.
Did he want to get married?
He wanted to get married before I did, definitely. And I was the one that was pumping the brakes. Like, I don't know. I was not good with commitment and with people and caring for things. Yeah, when I was a little girl and people would ask me, like, what do you think you'll be like as an adult? I would say things like, I'm going to have many lovers.
Oh!
I'm gonna, I swear to you, because
you
when
guys
I was
are horny.
When I was a teenager, I thought there's no way I'm gonna be.
Right.
And then I got married, and then I had an urge to get a dog because I started becoming obsessed with Brussels Griffon. I love Brussels. I met one on the streets 10 years prior. Point is, I got FIFO. We got FIFO. And the dog changed my world.
Yeah.
Right? Because you don't think that you can love something mm-hmm. as much as, like, I'm going to cry even talking about him because I loved him so much. And, like, he opened me up to the possibility mm-hmm. of children. And then that began, like, my quest in therapy to kind of deal with what I had to deal with.
Yeah.
To take that, the leap of getting a person going inside of me. But
so many layers.
So, right?
So many layers. Just, like, the reason why I even got it, I wanted a dog for so long. I grew up with dogs my whole life. Then I moved to LA and, you know, chasing my dreams. I'm poor. I can barely feed myself. I can't feed a dog. And then I got successful and I was too busy for a dog. And it was like, well, I can't get a dog now. But actually it was Eliza Schlesinger who taught me how to have a dog on the road.
Oh my God. We need to have her on for Dog Mom too.
Yes. So I called her and I was like, I'm thinking about getting a dog. Like, how do you do it?
That's so funny. I called Eliza too when I wanted FIFO because I'm like, how do you travel with this thing? Do I have to get one of those stupid certificates that says he's my emotional needs thing? I was so embarrassed. Yeah. And she totally told me how to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She, that's what she did for me. Oh my God, she's a dog mom trainer. I called her. I was like, how do I do it? And she told me everything from what bag carrier to get. Did she tell you what bag carrier?
No, dude. That was trial and error.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So she just like taught me all these things anyways, because I was like, I'm thinking about it, whatever. But before I even got to that point, this is what happened. I had been on the road for, at this point, it's like 10 years, 12 years. I can't remember. Somewhere in that range. Not 11, it was 10 or 12. Screw 11. Anyways, and I'm on the road and I'm in this place where anxiety is more common.
Yeah.
Heaviness, depression, like all these different things, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I call my crying and crocheting period, where I would just, in the middle of the day, I would start drinking and then crocheting and crying and like the courtyard mirror. And I was like, something's wrong. That's this a breaking point in your life.
Be good.
Yeah. So go ahead. So you had your crying.
So I'm on
moment.
The road and.
What were you doing when you were depressed? I'm just curious what
so
you do.
So here's the thing, because I grew up in like the church, right? Oh, okay. So I had my techniques of like prayer.
Which
if I was
church?
Feeling a type of way, like a Christian church.
Just straight Christians?
Yeah.
Baptist, nothing, no.
Non-denominational.
Okay.
Speaking in tongues, just like
just straight
laying
up.
Out in the Holy Spirit. Okay. Like all the things that you see on TV where they go, whoa, and then they fall out.
Oh, so you are speaking in tongues. You did
do. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. So you're heavy.
So I grew up in this world, right?
Okay.
And so those were like all my techniques when I feel a type of way, praying, or I'd listen to like a preaching sermon or praise and worship music or whatever it was. And like, those are all the things that would make me feel
just
better. And then those wouldn't work anymore. Right. Mm. Then it was like, no, this is like deeper stuff you need to work on. And I started learning about anxiety. I'd gone to different like, holistic doctors, and like my anxiety was so bad. Like my throat would tighten up.
Oof.
And you know how sometimes you feel like you got a lump in your throat, like you're about to cry, like at any moment, like we're talking about my, you know, favorite memory and I get choked up about it. It was that choked up feeling all day long.
Oof.
It was just like, I can cry at any moment for no reason. I'm sitting in traffic and here it comes for Oof. What? I don't know. So I was in this place, right? And then I went to all these different holistic doctors and changing my diet and whatever, whatever. Muscle testing. Have you ever done muscle testing?
No.
So they do like muscle testing, like what is your body responding to? Anyways, whatever. I'm on the road. And this one weekend, I'm in Virginia Beach. And I'm at the comedy club.
That's where my first son was conceived.
Really?
At the Funny Bone. Not at the club, but at the local hotel. Yeah. That's where Ellis was conceived.
At the Westin?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. The Virginia Beach.
My God, yeah. We have special memories together. Yeah.
And then we went to Ruth's Chris's and I was pregnant.
Celebrated.
Unbeknownst to me. But yes, very special place, Virginia Beach.
That's where you conceived and kind of where I conceived the idea of needing a dog.
So what was the thought? Okay. Like, how did it happen?
So I'm super heavy all weekend. Can't crack it. Doing all my techniques. None of them are working. And I'm just like heavy. And these are the signs when I know I'm heavy is I don't sing. I love to sing while I'm getting ready, while I'm in the shower. I whistle a lot. And it's just like because my spirit is light and I can do those things. I can exude just joy subconsciously because it's just overflow, right? Yes. So like when you sing and you don't even realize it, then you go, oh. Like if somebody starts singing with you and then you realize, oh, I was just singing because they just started singing the same song and then they kind of messed up my timing, but it's okay. You could join.
What's your song? What's your go-to?
Oh, it's usually a Spanish song and it's so funny because I can't speak Spanish, but I love to sing
in
Spanish.
Which one is it?
Este corazón que un día adora ya está muriendo tarde con tarde. Quiero morirme. Like, stuff like that.
Oh my God. What the hell?
Thank you, everyone.
I think I want to make love to you right now. That was so romantic.
Anytime.
Wow.
Just a lot of Spanish songs. And it's just, and that's the thing is I don't speak Spanish. I don't even know what I'm saying.
Right.
But it's like
you feel
this,
it.
I feel it. And it's just the, like, it comes out of me. Right. So if I'm not singing, if I'm not whistling, then I'm like, oh, something is going on in the back of my mind. I'm mulling something over either spiritually or mentally and I can't, it's not in the forefront. So I can't see, I don't know what it is. I got to go deep and figure out what it is. Right. And it's rare that people want to go deep and figure out what it is. It's usually, let me just like drink and crochet. You know what I mean? So
let's eat some more.
Exactly.
I know. I love eating my feelings. That's what I do first. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hot Cheetos and chocolate for me, or pickles.
Perfect.
You would think pregnancy, but no, it's depression.
Those are all serious prego foods. Yeah. Jeez.
So I'm in Virginia Beach, feeling heavy, can't crack it, doing all the things. Anyways, there's a family there that I was kind of friends with, like I knew them, but we weren't actually friends when they lived in LA, but we knew of each other. They moved to Virginia Beach and they're like, hey, why don't you guys come over? We'll treat you to lunch, blah, blah, whatever. Great, let's do that. When you're on the road, if somebody wants to cook you a home cooked meal, you're
amazing.
Like, yeah, I'm coming over immediately. Can you pick me up too? Thanks.
I know. It's such a treat to not have to go to the IHOP, which by the way, we ate too down the street.
Yeah. So anyways, good. We go to their house, right? And as soon as we walk in, she has a little dog. And this little dog just comes walking right up to me and I'm like, oh, hey. And so I pick up the dog and I put the dog right here and I'm not even exaggerating, joking, nothing. I felt all the heaviness melt off of me to the point where in the moment it would like I woke up to it and I was like, whoa, how did this dog know what I needed? How did this dog know how to do that? Because I've been trying prayer, worship music, all these different things all weekend and nothing has broken this off of me. But me just holding this animal just broke everything off. Like, how did that just happen? And I was so like blown away by that, that it was in that moment that I was like, oh, I need a dog.
Yeah.
Like, it's all going to, like, the layover stress that I was thinking about, like, how do you deal with a dog on a layover? Like, all of that is going to be worth it if this is what happens, if I get to like be light and easy and full of joy.
It's so true. I think that is 100% accurate. It's the, because you can't be anxious when you're petting a dog. And I always think that with Bitsy, like every morning she comes up on our bed and she comes up and she makes deep, meaningful eye contact is what I say. Cause she
I love it when they do that. You're like, oh my God, you're looking into my soul. I love you too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love you too. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. And they really, like, she has to look at me and I have to look, I have to make eye contact. Otherwise she just waits for it. And then I pet her a little head and I give her a full rub down, full scratch.
Yeah,
get it in. And there's something in that. You're right. That I'm. You're so present, and I think maybe that's part of it. Is that when you're petting something that's so pure, like that dog has no agenda other than snacks, pets.
Yeah.
They only exist to get pets and treats.
Yeah.
and love. That's yeah. it. And maybe it's the openness of that creature, you know, because they're just, they want, it's just love.
I think dogs are super heightened to spirits, right? So whether it's like dead spirit or your spirit living within you and what you need in that moment. And one trigger for my anxiety for sure is social media.
Oh, it's the worst.
Is my phone. Like, and it happens before you know it. You're just scrolling and all of a sudden, shit, where did I forget it? And it's just like, oh, another black man was shot. Okay, yeah. Now I'm just depressed for all day. And like, it gets me. And then it's election year. So then it's politics.
And the UFOs have landed. Did you know there's UFOs?
Oh my God, and the UFOs. And it's just, at this point, I like tallying up how bad 2020 can get.
God.
Like, let's do all the things. Murder hornets and all that kind of stuff. It's funny, I saw this funny meme when the murder hornets thing was coming out. Oh, and then somebody was like, wait, so do we buy more toilet paper? Like, how do we do
this? Do we bake? Did you bake immediately?
Oh, totally.
Everybody did.
Totally started baking.
Yeah.
But so the social media brings me anxiety, and that's one of the things.
I think that's part of the allure, because I think social media is designed to make you anxious and attracted at the same time. Because there's a lot of that FOMO, especially, this is why I love TikTok. I feel it's more of a pure thing, because the degenerates are on the talk. At least on my feed. The real fucking...
How do you get the... I look for
your
crazy...
Welcome.
I gotta go to your Instagram to see the ones you repost. And I'm like, where does she find these?
Yeah. Because it's a real... Is it egalitarian the word I'm looking for? It's a real equal... Is that the word I'm looking for, Chris? It's equal. Anyway, the point is, it's an equal place. Nobody is as trying as hard as they are on Instagram to make you think their life is better than yours. So I think that's why Instagram induces, at least in me, I go, fuck, that bitch is thinner. She's got fucking two kids too, but why is her hair curled? I haven't curled my hair in fucking 5 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That bitch put on makeup today. I didn't even, you know.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
So the social media gives me the anxiety.
That's
I can't
how it starts.
Tell you.
So you wake up and
how
it's...
How many times... I've been on my phone like this, just like locked in, and my dog will come and he'll do this. He'll like nudge the phone out of my hand.
I love when they do that.
And then immediately you would think like, oh, he just wants pets. Let me pet him. But what if my dog knows something I don't know, and he can sense my anxiety coming, and he's like, oh no, she about to spiral. Come on, mom. No, you about to spiral, girl. Put it down.
100%. And then he's like, here's some hot Cheetos.
Yeah.
So wait, let's meet your dog. I mean, do you want to bring
him? Yeah.
I don't want to misgender your dog. Has he decided on, sorry, have they decided on their, their gender identity? What are we identifying this dog as?
He is, he's a boy.
Okay, he identifies.
But he pees like a girl.
Really?
He does not lift his leg.
Oh.
He squats.
Oh, look at that face.
He is Yorkie, Maltese, Shih Tzu, Cocker Spaniel, Miniature Schnauzer, Mexican, and Puerto Rican.
All right.
We did his DNA.
You did it?
Yeah, we did a doggy DNA.
I did it too on FIFO, yes.
What was your dog?
Half mini pin, half Brussels Griffon.
Wow.
Which does actually help when they have like ailments, when they get a little older, you're like, oh, that's that. But this is a Bonzo.
Yeah, this is Bonzo.
This is a Bonzo.
Full name is Garbanzo Bean Reyes.
Yes.
He's super special, super like best lap dog ever. Hi, thank you for my gosh. I saw him, I was on the road, so when I finally decided, okay, I'm gonna get a dog, and then I called Eliza, and then she was like totally giving me all the tips, and I was like, okay, I can do this. I am in Biloxi, Mississippi.
Sweet.
And it was one of those weekends where it was like Thursday we're in Oklahoma, Friday we're in, you know, Biloxi, and then Sunday we come home, right? But it was on the plane, so you really, after your show, after you do meet and greet, you get back to your room, and by the time you like start falling asleep, it's maybe 1 a.m. and then you got to wake up at like 4 a.m. to go to the airport and go through TSA and get on your 6 a.m. flight, and then you land in the next city, maybe get a nap in, do the show, go to bed, and then wake up. So the whole weekend I had maybe 7 hours of sleep. Like, it was just, I was not feeling it. Anyway, so I'm about to go do my last show, and I'm on Instagram, and my friend sends me this post. Thank you. Sends me this post of the dog that is at a rescue shelter, and it was him.
Oh,
and as soon as I saw this picture, I was like, oh my God, that's my dog. And like, I messaged them right away, and I was like, is this dog still available? Because usually cute dogs go immediately.
Oh, yes.
Like, forget it. So I was like,
and
I bet you.
And the purebred ones, too. They go fast.
Yeah. I bet you this post has been up for like 12 hours, and he's been adopted like 6 hours
yes.
ago. Yes. Anyways, I saw it was up for 1 hour, and I was like, oh,
wait, what city
up.
Was he in?
In Burbank.
Oh, he's in Burbank. Okay, okay. Yeah. So he's home. You were yeah. home, and you were like,
so he's
let's
in
go.
Burbank, good. But I was in Mississippi, and it was 1 hour, so I messaged them right away. Is this dog still available? They're like, yes. I'm like, okay, listen, I'm in Mississippi, but girl, give me like 12 hours. I'm going to get on a plane. I'm going to fly home, and I'm going to come straight. Do not let anybody adopt him. No. And so I landed. Well, I sent it to my husband. I was like, can we please go meet this dog? Because getting my husband on board was another thing, right?
He wasn't into dogs?
Not that he wasn't into dogs, but he was like, I don't want to change my life. I don't want to, you know what I mean? Same thing with kids. Like, we don't want to change our lives.
It's a big change.
And so anyways, I was like, can we please go meet him? We landed. I was like, again, 7 hours of sleep. I'm exhausted. I came home. I took a shower, jumped in the car. I'm like, let's go. Let's go meet this dog. And I had two requirements. I said, I'm going to be able to bond with a dog easily because I love dogs.
Yeah.
But my sign, I was looking for a sign that he was my dog.
Yes.
I said, I need this dog to love my husband. So if this dog gives my husband a kiss, that's my dog, right?
No, mind. Oh, my you dog. Just heard the kiss.
And he's all, kiss? Okay, sure, sure. So we get there to the shelter, and they put him in my lap. And, of course, he's just, like, super cuddly with me immediately. Oh. I was like, oh, my God, this is my dog immediately. And then I say to my husband, like, you know, he's sitting right next to me. And my husband puts his hand to, like, his snout so that he could, like, smell him and, like, maybe give him a kiss. And Bonzo smells his hand and then immediately, like, turns away. And I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. And then my husband was like, oh, I don't think he likes my cologne. I was like, nobody likes your cologne. You spray too many sprays. Yeah. He does like 17 sprays. And I'm like, why? He's
women
like, I need
don't
it to
like
last it all day.
Yeah, but women don't like cologne generally, right?
Here's the thing, though. He gets so many compliments while he's out and about. Yeah. So, but he loves cologne. He has like way too many colognes. Anyways, I was like, nobody loves your cologne. This part doesn't count. And so I go, you want to hold him? And he goes, I guess so. So I put him in my husband's lap, and now he's facing, like, face-to-face my husband, and he does exactly this. He licks my husband's nose, yeah. And I was like, oh, my, that's my dog. Where's the paperwork? Let's sign it. Let's go. And we're going. October, it'll be 2 years that we've had this guy. He's been on over 50 flights with me and loves to travel. He was so excited. We haven't traveled anywhere, so his travel bag has been, like, up on the shelf forever since quarantine.
Yeah.
And as soon as I pulled it down, oh, my God, he starts jumping. I put the bag on the ground. He jumps right in.
I'll tell you how lucky you are that a rescue is comfortable being put in a bag and on a plane, because that's not something a lot of dogs will do. And you don't know what, do you know what his background was? What happened to Bonzo?
Well, I don't know for a fact, but I did call a dog psychic.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Of course you did. I love it. I will admit, in Omaha, I had FIFO see a dog psychic.
You did? Oh my God. Tell me your story. Yeah.
Colleen at the Omaha Funny Bone. She's got a recommendation.
Oh my God. Tell me your story.
Well, so FIFO. Okay. So FIFO, I saw him too at the shelter in Downey. He was a Downey dog. He was on death row.
So he was in the hood.
He was in the hood.
He was in South Central.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See? And I said, that's my dog too. I just saw it on the picture and I go, this is my guy. I know this is my guy. And I went down there alone because Tom was out of town. And I said, okay, I want to meet this dog. And the dog, I could see he was sick. He was coughing. He had camel cough already, yeah. But he was, despite his illness, he came and he jumped up in my lap and he put his two paws on my chest and he looked right into
my
eyes.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
And I went, this is it. You're my guy. You're my guy. And I was smitten. And then we brought him home a couple days later, you know, when Tom came back and he got really sick and we got him back to health. It was a long story.
Wow.
But gosh, I'm getting emotional just talking about him. But they just change everything for you. Because it's like I said, it's the first time I felt really open to loving something outside of myself and caring for him. And they understand you and they look at you. And
they give you the unconditional love. And
yeah.
soften when you need to soften, and yeah, like they know what you need somehow.
Yeah, it's so fucking weird. And I was really attached, and then I got the second dog. So when are we getting a second dog?
That's really well, we kind of have one right now because since quarantine, my friend, her son, and her dog moved into our house.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's been working great. Like at first we're like, all right, this should be fun, let's see how this goes. But it was, my friend needed some help at quarantine being freelance and losing all her income and everything. So she ended up giving up her apartment and then moving in with us, and it's been amazing. And her dog is 14, he's blind, he has a heart murmur, he's like got all kinds of health issues, but them together is super sweet. So it's kind of like we have two dogs right now.
Okay, well, let me tell you a little secret. Once you have two dogs,
what, it's better?
First of all, that's why God gave you two hands, one for each dog.
Oh my God.
I saw that on Britney Spears' Instagram account a few years ago. And that's what I used to tell myself. Like every time I pet both my dogs at once, I'd be like, that's why God gave me two hands. It's better for the dog. They do bond to the other guy. And if you go out of town or you it's better for their behavior.
Yeah.
And it's kind of similar to having a kid, because once you got two, you're pretty much...
Then they can play with each other.
Well, no, two dogs. I mean, you're on lockdown a little bit more than you are with just one dog.
Okay.
It's harder to travel with two.
Oh, like, yeah.
You're not going to travel with both of them. So it's similar to having a kid. Like, your life becomes locked down a bit more. Just, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Just, I mean,
telling you the real deal.
I've thought about it, but I was like, I can only travel with one emotional support animal legally. So
I need two. I need both of these guys. One, you gotta get them seats and shit.
Now I'm real heavy.
Do me a favor, Nadav. Would you mind if did you put any photographs of Bonzo's birthday party up on your gram?
Yeah. Well, Bonzo has his own Instagram.
What? I didn't even know this.
It's at Bonzo Bean Reyes. And he has quite a few, and he has like 14,000 followers. There he is.
Now, you are, I think, one of the best dog moms I know. Oh, there he is. You've got modeling shots of Bonzo. Yeah. Is that his friend?
Yep, that's Smokey. You'll see Smokey as you scroll. Look at him.
Oh, just, my gosh.
Look at that one right there. That's him and Smokey right in the middle.
Oh, hey, Smokey. You throw birthday parties for Bonzo. You have tacos. I remember this last year.
We did a fiesta-themed party for his first birthday. Fun. It was actually his second. He turned two, but it was our 1 year of having him. And we did a tequila tasting for the humans. And I invited five other dogs that showed up. So we had five dogs. We had a dog cake. And a cake for humans, too. So it was like, I wanted everybody to have a good time. So the dogs are like playing in the backyard. And then we were tasting tequila on the inside.
I love it. Now, your parents are immigrants, right?
Well, no. My parents were Mexican.
Right.
But my parents were born here. I'm actually fourth generation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I don't know if I have any family still in Mexico. I haven't met them.
So I'm just wondering, though, because my parents were hardcore Eastern blockers. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I got FIFO and my dad came over and saw the bedding that we had for FIFO and the treats and the toys and the love, that my dad had such disdain for her and disbelief that we gave a shit about the dog as much as we did. Like, because we had a dog growing up, Elvis, that actually looked similar to Bonzo. It was a cockapoo. And my dad would give him baths outside with the hose, like the cold ass. What? If we gave him a bath, it was like a hose. Yeah. And then my dad would go on vacation to Club Med and leave the dog in the backyard.
Oh, no.
Leave Elvis in the backyard alone with like a bowl of food. So I think the immigrant mentality with dogs
right.
was
different.
Way diff. Like, dog sleeps outside. Like, my dad would just let the dog sleep outside in the in the freezing rain, and Elvis would be like out there howling. And
oh, I couldn't. Like,
yeah, well, no, not now. You'd be called, you know,
I can't imagine.
On.
Even now, with people have outside dogs, I'm like, wait, there are still outside dogs?
Yeah.
Like, that's,
I don't think that's allowed.
I couldn't know. I could not imagine. I mean, I can listen. I can watch. I love watching murdery shows on TV. I like Law and Order SVU. I like the first 48, like the docuseries where they actually like show like the dead body and it's blurred out and stuff like that. Like, I love all those like murdery shows. But God forbid. Somebody show me an animal getting abused or neglected.
I can't do it.
Nope. I'll fight. I'm like, I can't watch this.
I can't either. I can't watch a show where, yeah, the dog gets murdered in the beginning. Like, John Wick was so hard for me. Like, I was like, oh, you fucking get that guy. Like, yeah. Fucking kill that guy's dog. Yeah. I'll kill you. I'll cut you too.
Yeah. Every single person in this room. Yeah. Get out of my way. I could not. I get so worried. Oh, and so that's the thing too. So we live in the mountains. So we have coyotes.
Oh, yes, you do. Especially in LA. Yeah.
My anxiety is like on 100.
And it should be.
I think it's because I've never spent this much time home.
Oh, yeah.
And so like early in quarantine, there was a coyote in my backyard at 2 a.m. It wasn't even like dusk where it's there like hunting hour. It was like 2 a.m. I was like, you mother. I was so angry. Yeah. I was ready to shoot it. I was like, what do I do? Do I get a gun? How do I handle this? And they're like, no, you can't shoot it. That's illegal. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And then the other night they were like a pack of them just howling outside. Like they were taunting
they
me.
They do. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, all right, we're going to fight. I will fight a coyote.
I will fuck up a coyote too.
Believe it.
I know.
I will sacrifice myself.
Oh yeah. When we used to live in the valley, you see those fucking nasty things. They're all scroungy or whatever. And they're like trotting down the middle of the street, broad daylight.
Yeah.
I had a friend, his wife was in the backyard. Broad daylight, she had a Maltese.
Nope.
Coyote came.
Nope.
Snatched up that dog right in front of her.
No.
In its mouth and took it away.
Did she run? Like what?
She just cried. What do? You just stand there in horror, and the dog was like mauled in front of her. Those fuckers will.
I'm on high alert in the backyard because we have so much land. Like it's a mountain that goes all the way up.
Oh yeah.
And I just bought him a coyote vest.
Oh good, that'll help.
Yeah, I haven't put it together yet. It came in a lot of pieces.
Talk to Whitney because she's got real coyote is.
How does she handle it? I mean, at least her dogs are big.
She built a wall. I think there's a big wall that prevents them from jumping. Maybe you have to build a bigger wall, like Trump. Did Trump build the wall yet?
Listen.
Is the thing. This is a coyote vest.
Yeah, that's hilarious. What I got him.
And I'm assuming it works.
I hope so.
Did you ever have to do a thunder vest for 4th of July? We used to get FIFO a thunder vest. It's like a vest like that that's tight so that they don't freak out during. Oh, ultimate leather dog hood black. Let's look at that one, Adolf, far left corner.
Oh, this one's expensive.
One's expensive. What's this all about? I think this is for a different kind of.
Fact that is so what comes up in your dog search, that's never come up in any of my searches for new dog stuff.
I know.
This is really telling.
That's a special one. So, what's the most ridiculous thing you've ever bought for Bonzo? Like, what's just the most luxurious thing you've spoiled?
Well, my husband, he's a little more bougie than me. So like right now he has a Louis Vuitton collar.
Okay, Louis Vuitton Bonzo. Yeah.
This is my husband.
Okay.
My husband took off the one I got at Petco. And
hilarious.
He was like, I got him this Louis Vuitton one. And then he has a Louis Vuitton leash. I refuse to use the Louis Vuitton leash. My husband's the only one that uses it because he's bougie like that. I mean,
please use this as a promo. Angela Johnson has a Louis Vuitton leash and collar for your dog.
I know.
What about the poop bags? Are those Gucci?
No, but they are perfume poop bags.
Yeah, like
they
those
have
too.
A scent to them.
Yeah.
So that's helpful. Yeah, I guess that's the most bougiest thing. I mean,
that's
he has lots
one.
Of clothes.
Of course.
For when we travel.
You know what? At one point in my career, I had a website called dogsandsweaters.com where I would just post pictures of dogs and sweaters because it fucking brings me so much joy. When I see a dog wearing clothes, people's clothes, Bitsy, I put a t-shirt on her. Let's see if Dogs and Sweaters is still around. I put Bitsy in a t-shirt a month ago. I just love it. I mean, look, is there nothing happier than a dog in a sweater?
Yep. Look at that one. Oh my God. And the snow. Oh my God. Bonzo loved the snow. We took him.
Look at those silly greyhounds.
Turtlenecks.
He's stupid looking. And then look at the bulldog.
And the chonkers.
I love the bulldogs. I think my next dog, so I've been dreaming about my second new dog. I'm finally ready.
Time.
Yeah. I think even though it's stupid because I have a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, it's enough work. I'm stupid if I go out and get us another dog right now, but I have that You know what it is? It's that irrational thing where you're like, it's beyond me. I have to get another dog. Because Bitsy's kind of lonely. She needs...
Your other dog recently passed?
Bitsy, yeah. So Fifo died about a year and 2 months ago. Okay. And it was so... It was just so... It's so horrible. I don't know if you've had a pet pass yet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I have.
They just take a piece of you. I don't think you ever really... Oh. I mourned more for my dog than I did when my mom died.
I've heard that from many people. I cried when Eliza's dog died.
So did I. I was very upset for her. Yeah.
I called. She was in Japan.
Yeah.
And I FaceTimed her and just cried with her and was like, I am so sorry.
What happened to Blanche? Because that was so out of the blue.
I don't know if they even know. I think she was staying with her mom and went to sleep and didn't wake up, I think.
Well, thank God she passed in her sleep. Fifo passed in his sleep, too. And I think the hardest thing in the world has got to be...
Did you know it was coming?
Yes, because he had a heart, enlarged heart. So small dogs, that's usually how they go, is they get an enlarged
that's
heart.
Smoky.
Yeah.
Our dog that's at the house right now, my friend's dog.
Oh, no.
He has an enlarged heart right now.
Yeah, so we tried everything he was on. By the end of his life, he was on, like, not exaggerating, 12 different pills a day.
Wow.
On a schedule. And so it was kind of like it happened slowly, so we were preparing. And I was joking with my husband every night. We put Fief to bed, and I'd be like, well, he's going to die. Tonight's the night he's going to die.
Yeah.
You know, because it got so depressing.
Yeah.
And he was just coughing a lot.
Yep.
So I put him to bed, and the next morning he was gone. And Bitsy was with him, and she wouldn't leave his side.
Oh, my God. See? Yeah.
She would not leave his side. We said, come on, Bitsy, let's go. And she was so sad, and she didn't eat for 2 days, I think.
Bits.
Oh, my God. But the best part is when your dog dies, there's like a doggy, it's something was called like Over the Rainbow, some service you can call. And they come and they, it's humorous. At the they bring, the guy was wearing like a black nurse's outfit. Like, yeah. And they bring a doggy gurney.
No.
And then he comes in and he says he's sorry for your loss. Like, it was so weird. I didn't know people did that. I thought I was supposed to just go Amazon a shovel and, like, I didn't know what the fuck to do, you know? Yeah. I was so in shock. I was like, I don't have a shovel. I got to bury him in the backyard. This is his home.
Well, and we started posting recently about Smokey because all of a sudden he was just not doing well. And Smokey also has like 8,000 followers on his Instagram. These are very popular Instagram dogs.
Of course.
And
gotta start one for Bitsy now.
People started sending me messages of different companies that it's like time for them to go, like they'll come and do like the euthanization at your home.
That's really nice.
So he can be at his home and then your whole family can be there. Cause right now in COVID times, they're like either only two people can come in the room. Mm-hmm. Cause I called the vet and we thought it was his time. We thought Smokey was leaving. And so I was asking their process, like, only two of you can come. And I was like, well, there's going to need to be at least 9 of us in that room because
we're
all attached. Then people started sending me different companies that come to your house and they like walk you through, give you your time. And then they take the dog with them after, and then they bring you back ashes.
Yeah, they did that to me, and like I got to pick the little house that they put him in, and so it's so depressing.
It is.
It's so fucked up.
It's your family member.
I know, and it's so mad. I'm like, I'm so mad that they can't make dogs that live longer. Like, can't you fuckers engineer something?
This is what I'm talking about. Okay, we're in 2020.
Yeah.
Can't you make dogs live longer?
Yeah.
Can't you just turn the ocean into drinkable water?
Yeah.
Like, why can we not do that?
Where's my flying car?
That's
I
what
know.
I'm saying.
All this shit, dude. I agree. Is it that hard? It can't be that hard. Well, there was this one point where Tom wanted to clone Fifo as he was getting older.
I heard about that.
You can do it. It costs a penny. It's like $20,000, I think.
I think Barbara Streisand did it. Or
shut
some,
the front
some
door.
Some famous person I read about. It was Barbara Streisand.
Google Barbara Streisand clone dog. I mean, there's always the worry that it's not going to be exactly the same because you're like Fifo had traumatic events. Shut the fuck up. Streisand revealed that two of her three, what is this, Cotton de Tulier dogs? I don't even know what that is. Were clones. Specifically, the magazine reported that the dogs, Miss Violet and Miss Scarlet, had been cloned from cells taken from the mouth and stomach of Mrs. Streisand's late dog, Samantha. I love when people give their dogs people's names.
Yeah.
Samantha. There's Charlotte.
Oh my gosh.
So I never even heard of this dog, the Cotton du Tulare. What a fucking bougie dog.
That's one thing.
$50,000. Well, she's Barbara Streisand.
I don't know a lot of the fancy breeds.
I don't know what that is. And I know, click on Cotton du Tulare. I know, I love
it. Looks like colon from here.
Colon du Tulare. It's a dog that shits everywhere. It's a white fucking dog.
It's so cute. Yeah. It looks like a Maltese. Just get a Maltese.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Why do you need a Cotton du Tulare? You just get yourself a fucking... because he's so
cute. Look at that one.
I know. Look at that face.
I tell you, Angela, I embarrass the shit out of my husband and children when we are in public and I meet dogs.
Oh.
It's like I can't stop it.
Can I get your dog?
And I have to talk to them. I have to.
I forget to acknowledge the human that is present. I don't even eye contact them. I contact the dog and I go, hi. Don't even acknowledge. Was there a human that just walked by? I'm not quite sure. I smile at dogs. Like, you know how this is what I don't like. If you're going to be on a walk with your dog, everybody who's listening right now, I need you to like hear what I'm saying. If you have a dog and you go for a walk, if you are that type of owner who does not like people talking to your dog, I need you to go home. Don't take your dog for no walks. Because once he is out on the streets, that's free game. I get to say hi to him.
Yes.
I will ask permission before I pet anybody's dog. I will always ask permission. But if I start talking to your dog and you don't acknowledge that I'm talking to your dog with gratitude, if you don't smile at me for saying hello to your dog, like, thank you for acknowledging my dog. If you don't give me some of that love, then I'm like, you don't deserve to be walking a dog. I cannot stand it when I go hi to a dog and then the owner is just like still stone face, and I'm like, no, listen.
I agree.
That's why I said hi to him and not you. Yeah. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
I don't like
your
that.
Shitty personality.
Yeah.
I agree. Like, what are you so angry about? You have this cute dog.
Yeah.
I agree. I can't stand it when they
or even your dog wasn't even that cute. I was being generous to say hi to your dog. Like, you're lucky I said hi. Your dog is ugly. And I still was like, oh, you're special. And you didn't even acknowledge that I gave your dog some love.
It's so rude. Because when people love Bitsy, I get it. I'm like, she's a fucking rad dog. Yeah. She looks like an Ewok. She's super friendly. She's super social. I get it. And I'm like, I know, she's rad. You know what I love more than anything? And this is the woman I'm going to become. Because once my children go to college, I'm going to get 4 more Brussels. Know I am.
Okay.
There's a woman in my neighborhood who walks, she has 3 Yorkies and she walks them in a baby carriage.
Oh,
I love her so much. And I'm always like, hi, how's it going? And she's like, well, you know, Samantha's in a mood today. And that's why we had to put her in the car. She doesn't want to walk. And I love when people telling me the details. But I get that. You know, my stepmother used to make our dog's meals every day. She made chicken breast and rice.
I can't.
That's too much.
I don't even cook for myself every day.
Yeah.
No.
That's too much.
Yeah, I don't like to cook he has no human food. I never give him human food.
You know why my father told me you have to give the dog rocks, the hard food, because he gets diarrhea if he eats table food. The diarrhea.
I don't want diarrhea.
Want dog diarrhea.
I don't want him begging. I don't want
No.
So he only gets dog food and treats, and he loves treats. He loves toys. Like at all my shows, like my fans would bring toys, and he knew it. As soon as he sees a bag with like tissue coming out, he starts jumping because he knows it's for him. He loves to open his own presents. Okay. He'll like take the tissue out and then he'll look for the toy and then he'll just go play with the toy. Like, I love it.
Now, do you give him Christmas presents? Do you wrap the present and let him find it under the tree? I mean, are you a dog mom or are you a poser dog mom? You know what I mean?
You know,
are you hardcore or not?
What's happening right now in my brain is I cannot remember Christmas.
I know. It feels like forever ago.
Can't remember what happened. Did I work Christmas?
No. Did you go to like Hawaii or something?
No. I think I worked. There was 1 year, and I think it was this last year, I worked Christmas or I didn't work. I don't remember. I can't remember life right now.
I know.
I mean, I get him gifts all the time, so I'm sure I did get him a Christmas
thing. He knows
love
him.
Yeah. I can't remember
this?
What I did.
How about this? Talk about wacky dog mom. I get Christmas ornaments made of my dogs.
That's pretty special. I like that. I like that.
I put their pictures on ornaments. That's how crazy I am
I like
for
that.
Dogs.
Yeah. I have a coffee mug with his face on it.
Yeah. Got one of those too. And I don't mean to brag.
Like I'll drink it with his face and then I'll look at his face. And then it's just like double dose of him. Yeah. I'm just like, I love you so much.
So sick. Yeah. I have my breed is the Brussels Griffon, and I'm a Brussels enthusiast. Mm-hmm. So I have mugs. I buy constant mugs.
So not even your dog specifically, just any Brussels dog.
Any Brussels dog. That's how crazy I love them so much. I have a wall clock in our kitchen. It says, I think it's like all times or times for Brussels or something stupid like that.
In your nice fancy house, you have a Brussels clock.
Yeah, I do, because I love them so fucking much. What else did I do? There's tons of wacky shit that I do. I love that. I love that breed. And I do think there's something to it that you're attracted to. Look, I tell you, I look at Bonzo. I know why you love this dog.
He's perfect
like you. And I tell you, even the shape of his body, he's very, I'll tell you what, he's lithe. He's like, he's fit,
like
agile.
A lion.
So are you, but your body is similar, right? Oh. You're not a chunky fatso. You're in shape. You look nice. You're clean. This dog is clean too. Like you.
They do smart, say bright. Dogs look like their owners.
I know. And my dogs are kind of, you know, Bitsy, kind of scraggly, but loving and happy.
I hate
and like
so much.
Dirty, you know, like fun, you know, they want to have fun. Yeah, I just love them so much. Let's Google Brussels Griffon.
Yeah,
I just
want
to look at some pictures of Brussels now. Brussels Griffon. Oh, God. Okay, which one should I get next?
Oh,
fuck. That's what Bitsy looks like. She's the 1, 2, 3, 4. You met Bitsy
before.
Yeah,
I met Bitsy.
Yeah, there she is.
I like how they are like fluffy in the body, but squishy in the face.
Love them all. Yes, I like
that.
They
have that.
The pushed in face. I love.
The, what? My brother just got a.
That's what she looked like when she was a puppy.
Oh, my gosh.
For those of you just listening, it's a dog from As Good As It Gets. That's how I fell in love with this breed. I saw that at Verdell and I was like, I gotta have this. I don't know what this is, but my dog is dumber than shit. She's not a bright girl. She's sweet, but she's
look
not.
At that one. Look that at those one. Eyes. That's a face. Only a mother could love
I
that
I know
face.
That one. I follow that one on Instagram. I know them all. Do you follow other dogs on
of
the?
Of course I follow dogs on Instagram. That is like one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah.
There's this one dog, Popeye, I think his name is. And they just do pictures of him with different plates of food. Like they go around Los Angeles to different restaurants and like he models different plates of food. Popeye on Instagram.
I love it.
And he has like hundreds of thousands of followers. Like I don't
understand.
Let me
look at Popeye the foodie. Oh yeah, oh my god, he's so cute. He's got a sweater on near.
So since quarantine they can't go to restaurants, so now they just but like look at that throwback right there with sushi. He's so cute.
Yeah, I was really one of those obnoxious dog moms. I took Fief everywhere. I mean everywhere, because I had the okay, I remember this. I did the, what is this shit called when you make them, what is it, a self-care dog? Your
emotional support?
Emotional support dog, yeah. So I was in therapy, so I legit, I'm crazy enough to have one.
Yeah,
and I asked my shrink, yeah, and she's like, yeah, you have this disorder, da-da-da, I can totally write the letter. And I was like, And so I put a vest on him so that people wouldn't give me shit. But then every 5 minutes, someone goes, what's your ailment? Why do you have to have one?
You don't ask that.
That's what I'm saying. But people would ask me all the time, like, oh, why do you have him? And I was so embarrassed to
mind
say,
mind your biz.
Yeah, mind your own business. And I was so embarrassed that I would tell people that I would go, I have seizures and he can sense my seizures.
You did not. You did not.
Yes. How embarrassing is that? Yeah, such an asshole.
Oh my
God. I'd rather say that than
and
like,
what if they're like, me too, what medicine do you use? And you're like, oh, I don't talk medicine, sorry.
I don't talk medicine.
I do the holistic approach.
Yeah. Like this shelter
God.
Dog could, yeah. Yeah, but
I feel like I would say something like, I have an urge to punch people in the face.
Yeah, he'll ask me questions about my ailments.
Yeah.
I know.
So that's why he calms me down. I mean, that's what I started talking about him in my act when I used to have an act. And I started talking about anxiety and just being a little more honest in my storytelling. And one of the things I would say is he's my emotional support animal because anxiety. And then I would just like talk about like what that even looks like and stuff like that in a funny way. Obviously, it doesn't become a therapy session in my show. But then I would call back to it anytime like somebody would like shout out. I rarely get hecklers, but anytime there was like a drunk woo or whatever. And I would want to get in a fight. Yeah. Like that's my
some
instinct.
Some nights you do.
My instinct is to take my hoops off and then and then the audience knows. They know like settle down, right?
Yeah.
So then it started becoming I would ask for my dog. Like if somebody in the audience was getting on my nerves, I'd be like, "Where's my dog?"
Sweet.
I'm about to get in a fight. Can somebody get my dog?
And they knew that.
Yeah, and they knew. And then at that point, it's funny. It's like, oh, that's her way of saying, "Shut up, bruh."
Yeah, you're giving me fucking agita.
Yeah.
Hi, Diggy Boo Boos. Okay, why don't we do some follow-up stuff? I want you to think of more ridiculous stuff you've done for Bonzo. But looking back, you know what's interesting though. Okay, so when FIFO died, I think there's always regret that I wasn't there for his last moments because I think like, you know, we made him as comfortable as we could, and I feel like I did all I could given the circumstance. But you know, you look back and like I said, my dad would really ridicule us for how we treated FIFO, and I'm like, yeah, but FIFO came from an abusive situation. Wow. That's what the psychic said to me in Omaha.
That's right. What did she say?
Yeah, she said that he came from a big family of five dogs, and he was neglected, and he has severe anxiety when I'm not in his. You know, he had anxiety too because he was always around me. I'm like, yeah, no shit, bitch. Like they all do their fucking rescues. They all. but the point is, spoil them. Spoil them. Who gives a shit? That's what they're there for. Don't feel guilt. Don't feel shame about being a dog mom and treating them really well because they're only here for a decade or so, a little more if you're lucky.
Yeah.
And then you're going to look back and go, I'm so glad that we did give Fief all that stuff that we did.
And, exactly. Yeah. And everything you give to them, they give it right back to you in that unconditional love, that emotional support if you need it. Even the thing of like him nudging my phone.
That's amazing.
To like get the phone out of my hand. It's like a reminder to be present in the moment, to be grateful for my blessings. Also know that this is the source of your anxiety. So put it down. Like,
yeah.
All of that. Like, I'm so, so grateful for my dog, for, like you said, that it's opened me up to this different part of love that I didn't know that I had. And I know that I'm his person, and to see him choose me makes me feel good too.
It's the best.
And it's just like, I don't know. It gives me all the warm fuzzies, and then he's so cute to look at.
I know. It makes you so happy. My greatest source of joy is when Bitsy only listens to me in the house. Like, I'm the mom.
Yeah.
In every sense of the word in the house. Yeah. Like, if Bitsy has to go potty, she listens to mommy.
Yeah.
Tommy can't get Bitsy to do shit. And all I have to do is, Bitsy, come on, schnitzel, whatever, and then she'll come.
Uh-huh.
And I like that power.
Samesies.
Yeah, I like knowing that.
It's like, I had to get up and take you potty, but okay.
Bitsy needs her TRs, her treats. We don't say the word treat. We've been saying TR.
Oh.
Like she needs her TR, but now she's picked up the TR.
Oh, yeah. We spell it, but he has code words. Treaty is his. If it's treaty.
Oh.
And then his girlfriend lives next door. She's a big, huge poodle.
Oh.
And her name is Maddie.
Oh.
And he could be like playing with his toy. And I go, where's Maddie? And he'll like, he's like, what? Did you say my girlfriend's name? I'm like, where is it?
Oh.
Yeah. He loves Maddie.
Yeah. You know what I love? Tommy used to have a pug in their house. I think it was Chanel. And you would pet Shani, the pug. Yeah. You pet Chanel, Dior. They all had like these names.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So you pet Shani and then you would stop petting her and then she would do this to your hand. She would like, hey, bitch, don't you stop petting me. And I'm like, oh, that's how I am with Tom when he gives me head scratchies and I'm like, keep scratching. And I do that.
Why'd you stop?
Yeah, why'd you stop, bitch?
When my husband rubs my foot, I just give it a little tap when he stops. like he'll be rubbing and then he just like, now he's just holding my foot.
I hate that.
And then so I have to go, wake up, keep going, don't forget. You got 5 more minutes.
Yeah. Do you time the massages or you just know?
I just know he can last about 3 minutes. And then he's like, he does this sign. He won't even say it hurt. He'll go,
stop.
And that's like the sign of like, sorry, I gave it all I got.
That is bullshit.
Yeah.
3 minutes. Yeah, dude. 3 minutes is not a foot massage.
No.
I demand at least a half hour of scratches.
And every time I ask him for a massage, he massages me every time. I'm so grateful. But he will usually say, get your massage thing. Like, you bought that thing. Use the thing. And I'm like, your hand is better. I would much rather have a 15-minute mediocre massage from you than use that thing.
You don't want to use the thing. My husband is in this thing where he wants to use our Amex points to buy a massage chair. I'm like,
there's a real good one.
You think so?
There's one where it's like you're in like it's almost like a spaceship and it like wraps up your legs and
those.
Your arms and then it lays all the way back and then it stretches you. Ooh, that's a good
one. You think so? But do you think that people really use them? Will we use it or will we forget about it?
Well, you're home a lot right now. So
I know.
You might use it.
I just feel like it's such a waste. Like that, the immigrant in me is like, that is, but that's why he's like, we could use the Amex points. I'm like, yeah, but we could also like take a trip to France one day.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it sucks because I'm not earning any points this year. You know what I mean? So I'm like, shoot. It's so bad that Marriott just started giving out points.
I know.
Like I looked in my account and I have randomly like 13,000 points. And I'm like, I haven't stayed anywhere this year. How did I get these? They're like, please just come out. Use your points.
It's so depressing. I don't even want to get into it. How it's my anxiety was super high at the beginning of all of this. Mm-hmm. And now I think I've just come to peace and terms with the chaos that's outside. And I just maintain my daily world. And, you know, I put on my fucking rainbow arms and fuck it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, do what you got to do.
Drink tequila every night.
I do love some tequila.
It's keto friendly. Okay. Do you have, by the way, for the dog moms listening, if you don't have, and this is not an ad for anybody, I just saw my friend who is a dog mom. Mm-hmm. She has two doggies. She said to get the Bissell steam cleaner for when they piss and shit on your rugs.
I don't have a steam cleaner.
You gotta, don't, what are you fucking around for? Man?
I don't know. I'm just over here with spot cleaner.
No!
Like a rookie.
No. Get your life. You gotta get the Bissell. There's a special one for pets. It's maybe $200.
I'm looking it up.
It's gonna change. You have carpet?
We have a rug in the living room, but no carpet.
You got to get your life. Get yourself a Bissell. You're going to like
the way you look. Steam cleaner.
I'm telling you. Okay.
I'm going to write it down.
So let's do some follow-up emails from episode 61. Hi, Mommy. I hear you touting the carpet cleaner, but in order to really mom it up, you need a regular carpet cleaner. And then this is a must. The Bissell Spot Bot Pet Portable carpet cleaner, because sometimes one, you are lazy and don't want to lug around the giant machine, and two, sometimes that's too extra for a small spot. That thing's amazing, Joanna. Good, I like this. Will you look this up? The Bissell Spot Bot Pet Portable Carpet Cleaner.
Ooh,
the Bissell.
That sounds better.
That sounds better.
Handheld,
easy peasy.
Drag it out, plug it in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's like a tiny little Roomba type of shit, and you just let it do its thing.
Ooh.
Yeah, I like that too. You need it when you got the pets.
We have a handheld vacuum, and it's a life changer.
Yeah.
It's a life changer, so that might be good.
So, off topic here, do you use menstrual cups?
I don't.
Google menstrual cups so Angela can see what I'm talking to. So menstrual cups came up in my TikTok. They were advertising this thing and I was like, who in the hell is putting this thing up there? Hoo-ha.
The Diva cup.
Right. Yeah, you've seen it. And then it collects blood and you got to pull out it. I was like, ugh. But anyway, people love it. My name is Devin. I'm 22 and I love my menstrual cup. I don't have kids, so my V is pretty normal still. And it's so much easier than tampons. There's no risk for toxic shock with a cup versus a tampon. So you never have that god awful feeling of ripping out your insides when your tampon is dry. You know what I'm talking about?
Painful.
It's the fucking worst.
It's like, and then don't know that it's going to feel that way until you go for it in like the first like point second of pulling. You're like, oh no. What happened? I used a super on a light day. What is this?
I know. Or just like I'll put one in and I didn't put it in right. You know, like when you can feel it and you're like, oh no, now I have to pull this out and try again. Yeah. And it's going to hurt so bad.
And then the immigrant in you is like, what a waste. How can I reuse this and try again? Should I put it back in the container?
Oh, I know. No. But I'll tell you a little secret I learned that helps when you have to pull out the dry tampon.
What? How?
Push.
What?
Use your Kegels.
Oh, and you push. I thought you meant push it back up. No. I was like, oh. No. And then what?
No, push like you're pushing a pee out.
Uh-huh.
Push, and then your muscles will help push it out at the same time. And
it doesn't contract and keep it in tighter and now just like.
Well, not after two babies. After two kids. It's a little different. Oh, you want that out. Huh? Just like everything else. Okay, hello, Jeans. I have to say I was taken aback when I heard you and Nadav discuss your dislike for plain tonic water. Very important issues we discuss on here. If you can't tell, we hit all the deep shit. How do you feel about tonic water?
I don't just drink it. It's I love nasty. Soda water. Soda but tonic. I don't understand tonic.
It's like drinking battery acid.
Does anybody just drink tonic or do you only drink it with alcohol in
it? This psycho does. I have to admit that I have been addicted to drinking diet tonic water. Diet tonic water.
That's a thing, first of all?
How calorically dense
that's
is regular?
That's what I'm saying. Like, do we need a diet tonic?
I didn't know there was calories in tonic water. I don't even know what is
tonic? How about that?
Let's start with tonic water. What is it made
out of? This is fun.
Isn't it silly?
This is like, and then we get to see things on our screen.
I know. You got to get
be successful.
You need an adob. You are. Okay, quinine. That's the taste. The key ingredient that creates the gentle bitterness is in tonic water. Our name was chosen. Okay. It's made with quinine. Quinine. I don't know how to pronounce this word, but it is quinine from the coochie tree, the Kinchoki cooch tree, the bark.
The chinchocha.
The chinchilla tree. And that's why it tastes like assholes.
Chocha. Got it.
No, my favorite drink is a gin and tonic. This guy is crazy. I started drinking tonic water alone in an attempt to trick my mind into thinking I was drinking alcohol and it worked. Ugh.
What?
Just be an alcoholic. What are you doing?
This is what LaCroix is for, sir.
I know.
They give you all the different flavors you could ask for, okay? And they just came out with a new one that is mojito.
Okay.
Mojito LaCroix.
I love that. Is that your flave?
It's medium. I don't really love it that much. But my favorite one is key lime, and there's a cola flavor that tastes like Coke. I love those two. Those are my favorites.
Sorry, and this is all under the LaCroix family. Yeah. Nobody knows how to pronounce this drink in America.
I think LaCroix, that's the French way, maybe.
But then someone said it's LaCroix because there's an island that it's pronounced LaCroix. I don't fucking know. Look, what am I, a linguist?
First of all, don't name your thing another language.
No,
and market it to us and expect us to know how to say it.
Yeah, make it American, man.
Yeah, Merca. It's LaCroix.
Well, do you wear? Oh, that's another thing I'll ask you. You're a married woman. How do you feel about Crocs and wearing Crocs?
I don't have them.
Yeah, why? No. Because you get laid. You guys still have sex.
Not interested.
No,
I don't know. I don't.
It's ugly. They're ugly. And I've had so many people try to convince me that this is an acceptable form
comfy?
Of footwear. It is comfy, but they look like hell.
Wait, who did that? That's not a real thing. That's not real.
Oh, Balenciaga made a croc heel. Hilarious. They're known for making wild stuff that nobody actually buys. How do you feel about a Birkenstock?
Not a huge fan.
Not a huge fan either. Same, because you're still sexually active.
I like flip-flops. Our house shoes is the like Adidas slides or the Nike slides.
Love.
That's our house shoes.
Adidas slides. I'm going to look. I'm into
Adidas.
Super
soft. Yeah. They're so soft.
Slides. Okay. Yeah. I'm
going to do it. Cushiony and comfy.
Okay. Hi, Kristen. Just wanted to say that your husband Tony is way behind. I'm only 22 and discovered. Oh, okay. So does your husband? My husband just started using my hair dryer to dry his nuts after the shower.
Why?
I know. I walked in on him, and he puts one leg up on my makeup
table.
Ooh,
flexy.
And then I walk in on him. He's got one leg up on the counter, and then he's drying his nuts. Does your husband do that to you, or does he still respect you?
My husband, has so much respect for himself is what it is.
Sure.
He does all the things, including he puts baby powder down there after every shower.
Wow, that must smell nice.
Like every, so he gets out of the, this is what he does. He gets out of the shower and he doesn't dry all the way off. He leaves a little bit of like water on, and then he does a body oil, and then he does body oil all over his body, and then he does some powder in the ball region, and then he sprays like 400 squirts of cologne,
right?
And then his deodorant is a spray deodorant, so it's like extra cologne just like in the armpits and stuff. And so at first he smells awful because it's every scent at the same time, and I'm like, I get, who are you, my uncle? Don't just get out of here. And I don't like this smell. But then by like the afternoon, I'm like, ooh, you smell good, because it's just like what's left. I'm like, this is how it should be from the beginning. Just this amount of cologne.
Right. But it sounds like it's a real issue, the cologne with him. He can't be reasoned with.
Well,
we can't.
Well, he loves, he likes to smell good and look good. Like he likes to be presentable. Like he's the guy, he wears like a gold chain. Oh, he's very Puerto Rican. He's like the gold chain, deodorant, ball powder, cologne. He's like, I need to be at all times like smelling and
looking. Can I tell you, he is like a model. I mean, I know, both of you together the most stunning couple.
Thank you.
Yeah, he looks like he does all that stuff.
He's growing into some salt and pepper now. So now his face is salt and pepper. His hair, unfortunately, is just one patch of gray right here. I would love it to be evenly distributed, but hey, you can't win them all.
So hold on. So let's see what this person says about my husband. I'm only 22 and discovered the hair dryer for my beanbag when I was 18, and my life has been much better since. Tell Tim to try and throw a little lotion down there to soften things up, and I'm positive you will be licking his scrum in no time. Just try it out. Brandon. But here's the deal, man. Brandon, listen, first of all, thanks for the gloating email. You know what I mean? He's like, oh, Tom started at 40. I've been doing it. Good for you. Secondly, I worry, though, gentlemen in the booth, the logic of this seems flawed. You're drying your nuts off, and then you're going to put oil back on your nuts. Won't that make more of a sweaty environment?
To me it sounds like yes, but I mean, I'm a firm believer, if it's not broken, don't fix it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anything's broken with the ball routine currently. So
with this person's ball routine,
mm-hmm.
What is the point though of blow drying? Because it's gonna get sweaty.
That's what I'm
what
saying.
What does blow drying do?
Blow drying dries them off. So you have a nice base coat. So you start your day dry.
Okay.
Because otherwise, see, I do what your husband does, where I get out, I don't fully dry myself off.
Uh-huh.
And then it's always a little wetness throughout the day.
Uh-huh.
Like under my tetas right now, even, because I don't really get under there. It's still a little
moist.
Yeah. It's just what I live with. I'm used to it.
Yeah. Almost like a nice like morning haze.
Yeah. You know I don't mind. I don't
like where you look out and it's like, is it gonna rain? And then by like 11 a.m. you're like, oh wow, it's 100 degrees outside.
Yeah. it's always damp. So Tom, I think, likes to try to keep them dry, and that's his way.
Nice.
Yeah. But I don't know. Okay. Oh, this is funny. So when I was a little girl, my mother used to let me eat bowls of spaghetti as I was taking a dump on the toilet.
Wait. Was it like she like would laugh at it, like this is hilarious?
No.
Or it was like, is this an immigrant thing again?
It's an immigrant thing. I think it's an I don't give a shit thing. Like I'd be eating, and then I'd be like, oh, I gotta take a shit, as I was eating as a kid, and then I would just take the bowl of spaghetti into the bathroom and finish it on the toilet. And she never objected. She was like, bring the spaghetti with you, just eat. Because she was so concerned that I wouldn't eat.
That's an immigrant thing.
Yeah.
Just eat, feed you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do that to my
kids. It's kind of like a direct line. Like eating and then just like, let's go. Get it.
Yeah.
All
do
the
you
way
snack
down.
On the shitter? Or are you
no.
strictly? I don't
oh,
do that either.
I couldn't. I could not.
Me either.
I am an avid phone user.
Same.
Who
isn't? And I feel like you bitches be lying. If you're like, oh,
lies.
I don't look at my phone on the toilet. That's what it's for.
Yeah, lies.
Stupid.
I started putting a book in there like the olden days. I'm like, maybe I should detach from my phone and I'll read a book. And so I put a book in the bathroom, but it's like a choice I have to make to put my phone down and pick up a book.
Yeah, I had Dolly Parton's biography in there. And I was like, I'm not interested in Dolly. Like every time I'd see her stupid face smiling at me as I was taking a shit, I'm like, fuck you, Dolly. I'm not doing this. All right. Here we go. I was listening to an older podcast the other day when you mentioned how you would eat spaghetti on the toilet, and I thought I'd share my weird bathroom habit from when I was younger. I have no clue why or how I started doing this, but when I was younger, I would crank the shower on as hot as it could go, turning my bathroom into a steam room. I'd then bring whatever food I made into the bathroom, what? Sit on the floor, no. and eat it while getting uncomfortably warm and sweaty.
Is this an A&E television show? Is
this... Oh, wait until you get in the next segment we're going to do. My lowest point was when I decided to bring a burrito and a full container of sour cream to what ended up being my last picnic before proceeding to fumble it all over myself and everything in the bathroom. As you can imagine, a hot, steamy room covered in old cream does not smell good. I mean, I don't understand. He's a normal person now. He doesn't do this anymore. He's this is Hannah. This is a girl. Hannah from Canada. Jesus Christ, you animal. Hannah. I thought this was a guy. What woman does this?
Who listens to your podcast?
Only the best. Nobody but the best, Angela.
Like, that is, like, an actual... I've heard of, like, foot fetish. Like, I've heard of, like, some weird fetishes. But, like, steam up the bathroom and go eat in an...
It's weird.
An uncomfortable state. Like, I need it to be uncomfortable in order for me to eat. I don't understand that.
What do you think that one is? Do you think maybe she was cold in the house? Maybe the heating...
No, because it's specifically about eating. Like, it's specific, and it's, I don't know. There's heaters. You want heaters.
But don't you feel ill, like, on days when, I remember, like, growing up here in LA in the Valley, and it would be, like, 110, and you're sitting outside on your break from your shitty summer job, and, like, I would be so nauseous from the heat that I couldn't eat until the sun went down.
And
so,
that's her prime. That's what she's like, give me a pizza.
Give me. I'm like, how is this bitch even, well, I don't know. I don't understand it, Hannah, but good for you. So I also have this thing called the Pajitsky effect. I didn't come up with that. This guy, Rob Eiler, did, who was an actor on The Sopranos. But so basically it's my immigrant stuff when I was growing up. Okay. I was raised kind of very communist. And I didn't. There's so many things even now today that I don't realize I can just do. For instance, I started using two towels when I got out of the shower very recently. One for my body, one for my hair. Uh-huh. I never did that. I just
luxurious.
Yeah, right? Oh, like, who the fuck does that?
Yeah.
So I've been reaching out and asking people what their Pajitsky effects are. And think about it. Do you have one?
Oh, I have one.
Oh, what? Okay, on deck.
Immediately.
Go.
Go. I had just moved to Los Angeles. Grew up poor, right? I moved in with my cousin. And he had just bought a condo. And I was doing the laundry, and then the laundry was in the garage, and he comes in, he parks the car, and he gets out, and he sees me put one dryer sheet in the laundry.
Oh, shit.
And start it. And he goes, what are you doing? And he goes and he grabs like two or three of them, and he is like, hey, we're successful now. We could use more than one laundry detergent sheet, one dryer sheet. And that was like such an awakening moment for me that I'm like, I can use more than one dryer sheet now. Like, that was a sign of success. Is that what the
Angela
Pajitsky effect is?
I didn't even know you could use more than one until this very moment.
You're allowed to. You can do it.
Boom. My mind is blown.
And watch, I guarantee you, the first time you go to do it, it's going to feel weird. You're going to be like, oh. That's too many. Am I wasting? Yeah. And then when you go to take your dry laundry out, you're going to see the three of them and you're like, can I reuse them?
Because that's still
going to be in you.
Yeah, that is in me. That immigrant shit of like, I don't deserve. Who can do three?
Yeah.
Wow. You just blew my mind, girl. Mm-hmm. That was rad. Wow.
Wow. Success stories.
Whew. All right. I would say the true hallmark of success is when you can own your own laundry machine. I knew that we were adults, Tom and I, when we got our first washer and dryer in our own place. And I didn't need quarters to do laundry.
That's pretty adult.
Okay, let's do some voicemail. I want to hear other people's Pajitsky effects.
Hey, mommies, it's Erin here. I have a Pajitsky effect for you. I very recently realized I've spent my whole life wondering why my snacks suck so bad the second or third time I go back to eat them. And it turns out I never learned how to close chip bags properly. Like,
what?
Nobody taught me. I just never noticed.
I don't know how.
And it turns out, when I go back to, like, my chips or whatever, They're fucking stale. and I just never realized
oxygen.
That not everybody does that and eats stale chips when they go back to it. There's a certain amount of stale that I'll just throw them out, but, you know. I never realized I could maybe just learn how to close the chip bag properly and seal it and have them be the same the second time I go back into them. So that's a little Pajitsky effect for you. Thanks.
But how do you
keep up the awesome show?
Thank you. How do you properly seal an open chip bag?
Okay, I have a question on the Pajitsky effect. Is it? Can you explain exactly what it is?
Yes. So this wouldn't. I think what she was saying. So a full Pajitsky effect would be: I bought a chip bag clip. I didn't realize you could do that. It changed my life. The original Pajitsky effect was Tom and I, when we lived together, when we first started living again, we're so poor. We had one phone charger that we would share all the time. Oh. And then one day we were like, wait a minute. We can buy two phone chargers. And like, it changed our lives. We're like, yeah, it was $20 and we could. And then there's another one where for the longest time, I didn't have an alarm clock next to me on my side of the bed.
Right.
Or a lamp or anything because I didn't realize I can buy a side table for stuff. And I would just always look at Tom's side, like look over at his side for the clock and for the lamp. And I'd be so mad because I could never put the remote or anything. So like buying a side table for my side of the bed.
I love that. Yeah. Okay, so I'm fully understanding it now. I get it.
But yours was a prime example.
It was a great example. Yeah. I didn't even realize. I thought it was like a almost success story type.
It is. It is in a way because you're going, because in my communist upbringing, like, who has two side tables on either side of the bed? What are you, the queen? Like, you can't afford this. You don't deserve this. Back in the communist day, we did not have nothing. So to me now, it's not these major things. They're like little, it's not like a Gucci purse. It's this little shit of like, I can fucking, for the longest time, I would never buy Ziploc bags.
Really?
Like, that's what alufolia is for. Aluminum foil. You know, you put everything in the alufolia. Why do I need Ziploc bag? And now I have different sizes of Ziploc bag. It's fucking luxurious. Okay.
That's great.
Is there another? I want to do another one. I love these so much.
How cool.
Hey, Mommy. It's 12:35 at night, and I just had a huge dose of Pajitsky effect that I had to share before I went to sleep. I took a shower after my workout earlier in the day, and I had taken the Browns to the Super Bowl quite a few times in between then and now. And I went to lay down, and I felt just gross and dirty. Mm-hmm. And I went and started the shower and realized I didn't have to clean my whole body, but I could just fucking clean my butthole with the wand. And I didn't have to use I didn't have to clean anything else. I didn't have to get completely soaking wet.
Yeah.
And it saved me a whole bunch of time, and I just had to share. I did also realize after that, that I could go and buy a tushy using the code that you provide on your show and not have to take full showers to get fully clean. This is your friendly reminder to clean your asshole. Bye.
Right? And that took me like up until I would say 7 years ago to talk about what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like I too would be like, I don't want to take a whole shower. I just want to wash like my asshole or my cooch. Yeah. I don't want to do the whole bits. Did you know you can do that?
Yes, but so my shower didn't have where you can take it off the thing. Like it was just only the full. So then it's like you're trying to not get the top part wet, but just like stick your parts in the stream, you know, and then like not whatever. So that's pretty difficult when you can't actually take the shower head off. But now I have a bathtub that has a thing that you can take off.
It's huge. It's everything. So you don't have, you take a horse bath is what they call it.
Yeah, the horse bath.
Okay, I love these so much.
This is amazing. This is so fun. Like, I love all your weird listeners. I love all your regular listeners. I love the Dov.
So good.
Like, there's a clock counting. Everything here is my favorite.
It's so official.
Like, I want to work here. Like, I'm gonna put in my job application.
Okay.
And I want this to be my new, like, 9 to 5. I'm going to come.
Okay.
Even if you guys are not filming, I'd be like, hey, guys, I'm here. Do you need anything? I'm going to just wrap up these wires that you have.
Do you like that it's like, it feels like a workplace?
It does. And I like that.
Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of a little bit? When I was a little girl, and you know how when you're young, you're like, I can't wait till I can get a job. And like, you just wanted a job when you were a kid.
Yeah.
And like, I would be like, I don't know, in third grade and in my room, and I would set up like, my dresser would be my desk, and then I got this phone that looked like a work phone with a bunch of buttons on it, right? Because it was like, I think it was like free, like somebody left it in front of their house, like by the trash can. And then so I have like my work phone, and then I would put like papers on my desk.
Yeah.
And I would just pretend to be stressed.
Oh.
Like, I didn't know what my job was. I just knew, like, hello, yes. And hold on, somebody's on line 2. Hold on. And then, like, looking through all my papers, like,
so
stressful
busy.
Day at work.
Do you know what's so ironic, though, is I think there are people that are still pretending that, because when I go, I have coffee in our neighborhood, and I overhear regular people conversations, you know, and there are people who still function that way. Like, this one woman was like, she answered her phone. She was like, I'm in a meeting right now, Tim. I mean, I'll be back in the office at 2. I'm so busy. And then like she hung up, and then she was having a conversation with her friend about how, you know, if she didn't do her job right, the whole office would fall apart. Like,
there's
just these people that carry on. That
was me. That was my third grade dream. Like, I wanted to grow up and be her.
To be the Susan of the office. She handles everything.
But that's what it, like, I feel like, oh, this feels like a real job. Like, that's my childhood dream, is to, like,
to have a fancy,
have a
real job. Yeah, I mean, you can turn your comedy job. I mean, you already have, but... Yeah, it's nice to have, like, Jerry Seinfeld said that he used to go to an office every day and write jokes.
I did see that, and I was like, maybe I should get an office. And then I have an office in my house, which now is my godson's room that he adopted. So now it's his virtual classroom and, like, all that kind of stuff and whatever. Yeah, so I don't have an office anymore. But I also don't have a job anymore, so it's fine.
Oh, this is great. This one's great. Not an immigrant, just a broke kid. It didn't occur to me until I was probably 25, I'm 29, that I don't have to squint in the sun and hurt my eyes. When I could just buy sunglasses. And since then, I treat myself to a $5 pair from Target or Ross once per year. I also buy myself fruit now.
Oh.
We never had fruit growing up. Yeah, now I'll eat a dinner of apples and peanut butter just because I can.
Yeah.
I think so. I'm the same way. I think it is a growing up poor thing. Mm-hmm. I remember, like, my dad, I said this on the last show, when I would want to buy Tic Tacs at, like, the checkout line, he's like, why do you do that? Just brush your teeth. You know, like, it's not for the utility. It was just to have the thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I actually relate real hard to the bowl of fruit thing.
Same.
Because I didn't have fruit growing up. So now if I serve myself like a bowl of berries and like maybe some like agave, I'm like, I am such an adult right now.
I could not. My mother would not buy raspberries. That raspberry is too expensive. This is $4 a thing. You cannot buy raspberry. So now every time.
And they go bad real fast.
Raspberries. I don't give a fuck. I'll buy fucking two containers, Mom.
Uh-huh. And I won't even eat them. I just want them in the fridge to look at.
Rot. Fuck you. My most recent Pajitsky fact is when my husband showed me. My parents were American, but hella poor. So I never had paper towels. That's true. That's a luxury. I never had fucking paper towels. Did you growing up?
No.
Never. My dad would fucking use my tiny ass shirts that didn't get folded when I was little to clean up messes all over the house instead of buying paper towels. I thought paper towels were expensive, so I refused to buy them until my husband got tired of me leaving hand towels all over the place and started buying them when he would go to the store without me. He told me that we can afford paper towels now and stop acting like my parents, Nicole. Isn't that really sad? Yeah.
Yeah. So many things if so we think things. About it. That
So many things. Do you pee in the pool?
No. You pee in your pool? I'm not swimming at your house.
I don't even know you.
You pee in your pool?
That's what they're there for.
No!
That's what the pool's for, man.
I get so mad even when my husband gets out of the pool and then he'll pee in the grass next to the pool. Yeah. I'm like, babe, the house is right there. You can just go right inside. And he's like, what? It's grass. Yeah. The dogs pee here all the time.
Yeah.
But in the pool.
It's your pool. There's chlorine. You don't wonder how everybody's drinking at your house and then no one's getting out to pee. They're pissing in your pool, man.
No, they're not.
Yeah,
the kids maybe. The adults, no.
I do. I train my kids to pee in the pool, too.
Are you serious?
I don't give a fuck.
Public pools and everything?
Yeah, don't give a shit. That's what the chlorine's for.
Oh, my God.
Now, wait a minute. You mean to tell me, do you pee in the shower at least?
Oh, yeah, I pee in the shower.
Fuck that. Thank God.
All the time.
I thought you had mental problems.
Do you? No, I always pee in the shower.
Okay.
Do you? Okay, let's just go on record.
Sure.
I do be very aware. I don't like to pee in other people's showers. Like if I spend the night at people's houses, I don't like to pee in their showers.
That's not nice.
Yeah, I'll pee in their toilet and then take a shower. Same. I don't want to pee in their shower, but I will pee in every hotel shower that I've ever been in. Do you and Tom take showers together?
He doesn't like to because he claims that my water flows too hot.
Okay.
He's like, ain't hot, ain't hot.
We love taking showers together.
Gosh,
and
so lucky.
It's like one of those things where he'll be like, I'm going to go take a shower. I'll be like, wait, me too. And then like, aww. I like want to go jump in the shower. And but we have like two different shower heads. So like, he has his and I have mine. But here's the thing. If he pees in the shower and doesn't give me a warning, I get so mad.
Yeah, because it's
and
smell.
I'd be like, are you peeing? Give me a warning at least so I can like move further to the corner. I don't want your splatters on me.
Yeah.
Like at least I'll give you a warning. And then I'll be like, I'm peeing, don't look. And I don't want him to see. I'm, like, I'm peeing. Don't look at me. I'm peeing. I don't want him to see
well,
me pee.
Well, I'll do you one nicer. My husband thinks it's hilarious to look in my eyes, make eye contact, and then piss on me without even telling me.
Wait.
Yeah. Thanks,
wait.
Tom.
Like, is this in the pool again, or is this?
No, this is in the shower. When we do
shower
together,
in the shower.
He'll look
okay.
at me. One time he hugs, he'll hug me, and then he'll piss right on me, and I'll just feel the hot stream on my leg.
And what do you say? Do you go, are you peeing?
Yeah, I'll be like, are you fucking peeing on me right now? And he's like, he just make the sound. I'm like, you're so nasty. You're so nasty. You're lucky I had two of your kids. You nasty.
Then does he steam up the bathroom and start eating a burrito with sour cream? Yeah.
Oh my God, that is the weirdest one.
Yeah,
I don't like that one.
That made me a little uncomfortable. I'll be
my
honest.
Husband blows snot rockets
in the
like
shower.
A hobo. Yeah, with me in the shower too. It's okay. So disgusting.
That's another argument we get into because here's the thing: we'll be facing each other, shower heads. We're facing each other, right?
Yeah.
And he goes like this to cover, but mira, you see that little hole right there?
I don't
there?
Like it. Yeah.
The little hole.
Yeah.
He does the snot rocket. I'm not even joking. I seen a booger fly out of the hole. And I was like, babe, if you're going to be blowing your nose, you need to turn around. Have some sharing shower etiquette.
Oh, I just
okay?
got chills.
I'm
like,
you
know,
like turn
it.
Around and blow your snot rockets the other way. And
so
then
nasty.
Now he's finally starting to
he's
learn.
Finally did that. Okay. So how long have you guys been together now?
9 years.
Okay, so fuck, 9 years. Wow, it's hard to train them after that amount of time. I'm trying to think what else Tom does. Yeah, he blows his nose. And then Tom, his pee will smell like coffee.
Mine does. Mine smells like coffee. Yeah.
Do you drink a lot of coffee throughout the day?
Well, I just have like one cup in the morning, but I guess like my pee is so susceptible to the smell of coffee. And then my husband doesn't drink coffee. So if I pee and then it starts smelling like coffee, then I'll be like, don't smell. Don't like, I don't want him to like see me pee, smell my pee. Like don't see any of my ugly parts. Like hold your breath right now. Don't smell.
I'm the same way about, yeah, I don't want Tom's always like, you never smell. You never smell. And I'm like, yeah, I do. I don't let you ever smell me. Like my armpits smell like everybody else's. And he's like, babe, you don't smell. And he always wants to get in everywhere. And I'm like, no.
No.
But that's a good thing. I guess it's good that they're not fucking weird. Okay, let's do one more and then I'll let you go back to your dog mom life. What you
no,
got planned
I work
for
here now. I live here.
No.
I'm staying.
I know.
I feel purpose. Well, I was telling you today when I got here, I was feeling a little mosh this morning.
Tell me. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about that real quick. Hour two. Here we go. So I haven't been traveling or anything. I haven't been working. I haven't been doing much. And I've been enjoying it.
Yeah, like, but you were kind of on your sannyasin journey.
Yeah, I was
this
already
was
on
year.
A little break.
Yeah.
And so I've been enjoying not doing anything. I've been enjoying not going to the airport and going to do shows, not having to like sell tickets and like advertise my, I've been enjoying not having pressure on me. Like I'm so into it. And then people are like, hey, do you want to do like this Zoom stand-up show? I'm like, nope, no, don't want to do anything.
I don't want to do your fucking Zoom stand-up show.
Don't want to do nothing. Right. Yeah. And I've just enjoyed that. Well, this morning, as I was getting ready to come here, I was listening to an old playlist on my phone. And as you know, our bodies can like store memories and things like that. And so this song came on and I had this quick, it was like that quick, of a vision of me getting ready to go to the airport in the morning.
Mm.
And I got so emotional. I'm getting emotional right now thinking about it. Because this is like 13 years of like, you know, the morning leaving your house and your comfort zone and your family. And you put the armor on and you're like, okay, I'm going to go entertain people. And I love entertaining people. But it's the whole thing of like, I don't have all the sleep, but it's fine. And then you're with a bunch of strangers at the airport, and then you're it's lonely, and then you're in a hotel room, and it's like all that thing, and like you gear up and you put the armor on to go. And it just like triggered something in me because I'm like drinking my coffee, I'm watching the sun come up, and I'm getting ready to go do like morning press. Like that's what it felt like, right? And then I was like, that's weird. What is this feeling? Like, why am I getting emotional? Like, do I miss it? And I started talking to myself and I started talking to God. And I was like, what is this emotional feeling? Like, do I miss this? And then I just started bawling, crying. And I was like, oh my God. Like, because I've been enjoying not missing this life. And then all of a sudden this morning, it felt like purpose again. It felt like, oh, I have purpose. I have, like, I know how to do this. And then just like driving here, and then I don't know, like it's been very emotional feeling. And that's why I'm like, oh my God, this feels like I remember purpose. I want to stay
being a person, you know? And being a comic. And
so yes. Thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me be a part of this. And
I mean, look, and I know you're saying everything you described, it's 100% the journey of being a comic. And people are like, my friends say I should be a stand-up comic because I'm real funny. I'm like, great. That's like this much of the job.
Yeah.
Because what you just described is like you're leaving everything you know consistently. That's really the job is painful loneliness, sacrifice. You know, we spent years not going to family events, not going to birthdays, not getting married, not having children in a timely manner.
Yes.
Not buying a house until you're fucking 40. Like,
yep.
To do this thing that we love so much. And it's so conflicting because it's such a grind. It can be really, really a grind. But at the same time, I think that it's a huge emotional component for me to be a comic. And when that's not here, it's been really hard for me to like, because that also we get out the poison, right? There's something to that, telling jokes and making people laugh and that connection with an audience.
Yep.
And when that's not in our lives, like where does that energy go?
Yeah.
And that's the tricky part. Where does that energy go?
At least you have this and you have like Nadav, who's your biggest fan.
He's the sweetest. And, he's the best. They're all the best. It's not the same as the tightrope and the danger of comedy. Of real stand-up. Yeah. That's why when people, you want to do my Zoom show? Go fuck yourself. I don't want to do a fucking Zoom show. I don't want to do your fucking drive-in show. I don't want to do your fucking backyard shit. Make me do it. Don't make me do it. I'm not going to do it until it's back because I can't even dip my toe.
Yeah.
I'm so
emotional.
That's kind
of how I feel too.
Yeah, fuck it. That's okay. You're on your journey. You're on your time.
I'm discovering whole different things about myself this year. That's what this year was about. Like, what do I really want in my life? What really fills my cup? What are the things? I've been hustling for 13 years, striving in my career. And now I'm like, you know what? Let me just put that aside because I feel like life is more than hustle and strive.
Yeah, it's boring.
And I don't want to demonize that because there is like a powerful component to hustle. Just the other day I was in my backyard looking at my house and I'm like, wow, I'm so grateful. This came from hustle.
Hell yeah.
This came from hustle. I'm so grateful for hustle. But then there's times where I'm like, I think there's more to life than hustle. Is it?
Yeah. Can I tell you something? I hate to tell you.
Tell me.
Because when I was crying and crocheting, I started that podcast, That's Deep Bro, which is still in this RSS feed, by the way. It was taken off of YouTube because of music stuff, but it's on this feed, Deep Dive. And I started that show because I was on a journey, too, of like, life doesn't feel right. I mean, how many fucking brunches can we go to?
Yeah.
How many nights can I go out with friends and have dinners? How many movies can we watch?
Yeah.
Something felt off. Like something felt like, is that all there is? Because I had gotten enough success. I had gotten stuff. But it's like, is that all there is? I have to give back. There's something bigger than me.
Yes.
And that's when Tom and I went to Virginia Beach.
Full circle.
And we ate at Ruth's Chris. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. But in the meantime, you're a dog mom. And congratulations. And you're fantastic dog mom.
Thank you.
And that's not to imply, by the way, that all women should have children or that being a dog mom is not enough. It is more than enough. Yeah. I was a dog mom solely for years. I fucking love it. I still do.
Yeah.
Anyways, thank you so much for coming. I can't wait for you to come back. Please come back. Too. It sounds like you and I have a lot more to discuss. I think we just scratched.
Oh, yeah.
The surface. And I'm sad that our time is up because we got to do other shit.
Me
here.
Too.
I love you. You're
love
the best. Do you have anything to plug? I know you.
Oh, I have a podcast.
Please tell them.
It's called Nights at the Round Table. It's not necessarily a comedy podcast, but it's we talk about life, love, faith, our deconstruction from the faith that we grew up in and where our faith is now.
We're going to talk about that next time.
Asking some of those tough life questions and like kind of like what we're just talking about at the end here. That's kind of where our podcast, it's myself, my husband, and one of our best friends, Brandon, and we just talk about all that kind of stuff.
And where can they find this?
Knights of the Round Table, everywhere, all the podcasts,
like apps, iTunes,
Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, everywhere.
All the shits. Oh, also, I forgot to mention, on September 12th at 5 p.m. Pacific time, I am doing, I don't know, I guess like a Q&A. It's not stand-up. I'm just doing it to help out Flappers Comedy Club.
Okay, are you doing it there at Flappers?
No. I'm just going to go to my house. I'm going to drink, and I'm going to talk to people.
That's fun. On Zoom?
Yeah. I think listen, it really is just a ploy to help Flappers in Burbank, which I do shows there so frequently. I love the owners. I've known them for a million years and I want them to stay open.
Yeah.
If you want to buy a ticket, it's on my website, Christina P Online.
That's
and
cool.
Come and drink and talk to me.
I love that.
Support this club, support comedy because they need our help right now. Times are fucking bleak. Anything else?
I'm on Instagram. I do stories on Instagram. That's like the only TV show I've booked in a really long time. I do Ghost Stories with Angela every other Friday evening on my Instagram Live. If you have a ghost story that's super creepy, message me on Instagram, come join my live, and then I might pick you to come live with me and tell your story to all my listeners. So
that's huge. Yeah. Angela Johnson, a legend. I love you so much. Thank you so much for doing my show.
Thank you for having me.
You're the best. All right. Until next time, stay cool, moms.
Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where